Me to Psalm 107. Psalm 107, this psalm begins on page 643 of our Pew Bible. So hear now the word of God, Psalm 107. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble, and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. And they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. For they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds and songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards, and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. So ends our reading of God's word. And he blessed that reading and now the preaching of his word as well. Psalm 107 is the beginning of the final book of the book of Psalms, book 5. And many of these psalms focus on the glorious work of God and the expectation of glorious things to come. And this psalm, as it begins, calls us, first of all, to give thanks for the goodness of God. And it's the goodness of God that is seen displayed through His redeeming work and His faithfulness. So as we consider this psalm this evening, what we'll be looking at, the theme is that the Lord is good, let us who are redeemed give thanks. That the Lord is good, let us who are redeemed give thanks. We'll be looking at this psalm in six portions. And the first is verses 1 to 3. And this is God's goodness seen in His steadfast love. We are called to give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. And the word steadfast love is His covenant love. It's that love that He has with those peculiar people that are His people, with His children, with those whom he has redeemed. And so verse 2 calls us who are redeemed, the redeemed of the Lord, say so. Let us shout that He is good and that His steadfast love does endure forever. Now this psalm that we sang earlier has the translation that He has redeemed us from the foe. The Bible's before us this evening has whom He has redeemed from trouble. And that idea of trouble really could be the idea of a foe, of an oppressor. And as we consider the rest of this psalm, it gives us four pictures of how God has redeemed us from different types of trouble or different types of oppression. He's delivering us. This oppressive foe that we face is our sin, the evil one, and the sinful world itself. The Lord, in His mighty work and His steadfast love and His goodness, has delivered us from these things, ultimately in Christ. In verse 3, shows us who makes up this redeemed. It's not simply the nation of Israel, but it is those that have been gathered from the ends of the earth. This psalm is looking towards a time when all the nations of the earth will be brought under the umbrella of God's redeemed. Those from the east, those from the west, those from the north, and those from the south. And we see this pictured for us again at the end of the scriptures in Revelation 5, verse 9. That those who are ransomed from every tribe, nation, and tongue before the throne of God. And a great multitude is seen in Revelation 7, verse 9, from all nations and tribes and tongues throughout all the earth. These are the people of God. And we, if we are in Christ, if we have, by God's grace, believed in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins have been forgiven, and we are counted as His people, being brought from the north, south, east, and west. And so as God's redeemed, we are called to give thanks, for He is good. And we are called to give thanks, for God has redeemed us from oppression, from that weight of sin that ensnares us, from the evil one in his temptations, from this world in its hostility towards God. We may feel the pains of these things, and we may feel like we are burdened by them, but we must remember that the ultimate victory is Christ, and that if we are the redeemed of God, then we have that victory. And so, brothers and sisters, and those who are the redeemed of the Lord, let us indeed give thanks for God's work in redeeming us from our foe. This redemption, then, is spelled out, as I said, in four ways. And we get four pictures of situations and circumstances that God's people have been redeemed from. And they're not by any means exhaustive, but they give us a picture of the redeeming work of God in the lives of His people. The first is in verses 4 to 9. God has redeemed us from desert wastes. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell, and hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. This is a picture for us of the Exodus, of the wilderness journey, as God had delivered His people and then was guiding them through the wilderness to the promised land. They didn't have a city to dwell in, so he was guiding them through this desert waste, this wilderness, to the city, to the promised land that then they would dwell in. We're told in the scriptures that the Israelites dwelled in cities that they did not build, and they took over fields that they did not plow and plant. They became theirs, and they took over that country as God had given them the land. As we consider the desert wastes that we walk through here in this life, it is the Lord who delivers us from these things. Times of great want and hunger. Jesus says in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. These verses here in the deliverance that God works for his people in redeeming them from a desert waste, he has redeemed us in Christ from the desert waste of unrighteousness and satisfied us with the good things that are in Jesus. That namely, that good thing that he has satisfied us with is the goodness of Jesus, is his righteousness. When we are brought to faith in Christ through the grace of God, God takes our sin, our unrighteousness, and he gives it to Christ. And he takes Christ's righteousness and he gives it to us. So that no longer does he see us in the ragged, withered clothes of those who live in the desert, but he sees us in the beautiful robes of righteousness found in Jesus Christ. These verses show us also, in these four sections, there's a refrain that is repeated. The first part of it is, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. And there's a brief description of how he delivered them from their distress. But then the refrain goes, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Now this phrase, the children of man, the word there that is translated as man, it could be man or mankind, but it's literally Adam. It's the Hebrew word for Adam. Adam is what that first man was named. And when we consider how most of the times in the Psalms, when we come across things like the children of man or the sons of man, it is most often the sons of Adam. Children of Adam. And it's a way for us to be reminded of where we have come from, of who our Father is. He is the one who rebelled in the garden. He is the one who took and ate that forbidden fruit. So when we see the Lord's faithfulness and his steadfast love brought up against that rebellion, that failure, it makes his faithfulness and his love shine all the more gloriously, all the more brightly. That here God is being faithful in not abandoning the sons of Adam. He's not abandoning the children of Adam, but he is redeeming them in their distress. He is being faithful, and he is redeeming them when we cry out to him for help. So we're called to give thanks, for God has redeemed us from the desert of unrighteousness and satisfied us with good things. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. The second group that the psalmist mentions begins in verse 10, that God has redeemed us from darkness, and this is in verses 10 through 16. Some sat in darkness in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. And then in verse 11, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. This group of people were in darkness in the shadow of death, because they had rebelled against the word of the Lord. They had actively gone against and sinned against his command. And so we read how the Lord brought them low, but then yet that refrain again, they cried to the Lord in their trouble and he delivered them from their distress. He brings them out of darkness, out of the shadow of death. He bursts the bonds of their imprisonment. Their imprisonment was the direct result of their sinful rebellion against the Most High. And yet God's goodness, again, to the children of Adam, is displayed in that He redeems us from this prison. I reminded us this morning that the Exodus is the great picture and type of our salvation, about God mightily delivering His people from slavery. Here we see in these verses that same picture of God delivering us from imprisonment, from the bonds of death and the shadow of death because of our sin, because of our rebellion against Him. And yet, as we learn in the New Testament, that God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That God, in His love and in His mercy, has sent His Son to redeem those who are in prison, to redeem those who are held captive. In Christ, He has broken the iron bars. He has broken open the doors of bronze. And He has redeemed the children of man, the children of Adam, from our sin. So we're given cause to give thanks to God for His redeeming us from trouble. And this trouble is first seen in our wandering in desert wastes, and He satisfies our souls with good things. And then this goodness also in the redemption that we have out of darkness as a result of our sin. The next group is those that God has redeemed from foolishness in verses 17 through 22. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. And we might ask ourselves, how is this group different than the group immediately before? Those who have rebelled against God's word in their sin and wickedness. Well, I think there's a subtle difference here that the psalmist brings out. The first group are those who have openly rebelled against God. It's like those who acknowledged, yeah, there's a God, but I don't care, I'm rebelling against Him. These are those who are caught in some particular sin and result of their sin through just their foolishness. Of not realizing maybe the consequences of their actions, but they've progressed anyway in their sinfulness, not realizing maybe what they were doing, and before they know it, they are entangled and they are ensnared in the pit that they have dug for themselves. We get a picture here of those who are experiencing the effects of sin. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. There are certain sins that have dire, true physical consequences in this life that lead to this type of loathing of food and drawing near to the gates of death. And through these foolish actions, the Lord also hears the cries of His people and delivers us from distress. He sends out His word and heals. He delivers from their destruction. And then we're called again, the children of man, the children of Adam, to thank God for His steadfast love and His wondrous works. But instead of the last verse again recounting what God has done, these next two sections call us to do something as far as giving thanks. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of His deeds and songs of joy. It's a call of those who have been redeemed. After God has done these things, He's satisfied our soul with good things. He's shattered the doors of bronze and the bars of iron. And so now, as we are those receiving God's gracious redemption, we are called then to offer sacrifices of thanksgiving, rejoicing, praising God for what He has done. And we're called to tell, to proclaim what He has done for us in His deliverance. So we're called to respond to the steadfast love of God, to His acts of redemption in our life with thanksgiving. To give thanks for God has redeemed us from our own foolishness, from the times in which we stumble along blindly, then all of a sudden realize what we've dug ourselves into, and we cry out to God. And He hears in the midst of our foolishness and delivers us. The last section begins in verse 23. God has redeemed us from tumultuous seas. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business in the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, His wondrous works of the deep. Now, as we consider these verses are a little bit different. The first three sections have to deal with the sinfulness of mankind and being redeemed out of that darkness, out of that sinfulness, out of those that imprison. This section deals with what could be seen as honest labor. People going about their daily life doing business. It is said here that their courage melted away in their evil plight. We shouldn't see that word evil there as describing that they were involved in some kind of wicked business. And that's why this storm was brought about. But it's an evil plight in the sense that they are in great peril. They are on the brink of death because of this tumultuous and undulating sea as their ships go up to heaven and then go down to the depths again. These are people, men on a boat doing business, lawful business, that then find themselves in a circumstance where they cannot escape on their own power or their own abilities. They are brought by God into a position that they are way over their head. And they need His help. There are times in our life when God brings such storms into our lives. It may not be the result of a sinful action that we have done, but God comes and He brings something to test our faith, to refine it. You consider Job. Job was a righteous man, and yet God brought a tremendous storm into his life to refine him. In these times, we are reminded again that we can cry to the Lord in our trouble. The phrase there, where they were at their wit's end, could be literally translated in as, "and all their wisdom was swallowed." They couldn't think of anything. They didn't know how to progress or what to do. And coming to our saying is, they were at the end of their rope. They cry out to God in their distress. And He saves them. He quiets the storm. He hushes the waves. And He brings them to their desired haven. We're called again to thank the Lord for His steadfast love and His wondrous works to the children of Adam. And we're called again, not reminded of what God did, but then also, like the previous section, called to do something. We're called to extol Him in the congregation of the people. We're called to praise Him in the assembly of the elders. Amongst the people of God, we're called to proclaim and declare the good things that God has done. God has shown His goodness to us in redeeming us from a multitude of situations. He's redeemed us from the desert wastes. He's redeemed us from the prison. He's redeemed us from our foolishness. And He's redeemed us from the tumultuous seas of life. In each instance, showing His goodness and His steadfast love to us. So in the final section, in verses 33 through 43, we're called in the last verse, "Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let him consider the mercy, the grace, the steadfast love of God." And these verses show us how God will destroy the wicked, but yet He'll uphold and He'll uplift the righteous. This mirrors Psalm 1 that we sang this morning. The Lord, as it's described here, He turns the rivers into a desert and springs of water into a thirsty ground because of the evil of its inhabitants. But then the opposite is true. He also turns a desert into pools of water and a parched land into springs of water. The Lord will overturn the wicked, but uphold the righteous. And so we ask, who are the wicked? Well, they are those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. They are those who continue to live in open rebellion against the God of heaven, the creator of heaven and earth. And who are the righteous? But those who, by God's grace, have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and have received that gift of righteousness that Christ alone has earned. And the prosperity that we see here points us to that last great day when we will enter into His glory forever. And we will be given an abundance of all that we would need. And the wicked then go to an eternity of destruction, facing the wrath of God. The upright will see it and be glad. But all wickedness will shut its mouth. For the rest of eternity, all wickedness will be silenced, will never rear its ugly head again. But the upright, the righteous, God's people, His redeemed, He has saved out of these various circumstances, from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south, will be glad and rejoice in His presence. So let us give thanks for all the gracious works God has done for His people. This psalm, again, is opening this final book of the Psalter. And this final book of the Psalter, again, points us to the great glory that is to come in many ways. And it starts out by reminding us of the great works of God, the goodness that He has done for His people, in redeeming us from the prison of sin and wickedness. He's redeemed us from our foolishness. He's redeemed us from darkness and desert wastes. He's redeemed us from tumultuous seas in life. His goodness overflows to His people. And our response, as we are called, is to consider this steadfast love and to give thanks for the goodness of God that we see in our lives. So, brothers and sisters, God is good. Let us then praise Him and give Him thanks. Amen. Our gracious Father, we do thank You for the good that You have shown to us. And Lord, there are many ways that we fall short and that we fail. But Lord, we praise You that You are a God who hears our cries in distress. And that You, Lord, have redeemed us from these various tribulations in life. You've redeemed us from darkness. You've redeemed us, Lord, from the desert wastes. You've redeemed us from the prison of the evil one, and our own sin and death. But Lord, You have also carried us through the storms of life. And You, Lord, bring us to places of bounteous good. May You, Father, continue to pour out Your goodness upon us. And may You, Lord, cause us to give You abundant thanks for all the good that You show to us. And may we do as this psalm calls us to do, to extol Your praises in the congregation and to declare Your goodness to those that we come in contact with and praise You of what You have done for us. In the glorious name of Jesus we pray. Amen.